Can you remember when you first heard about 3-1-1?
Yes. It happened here at work.
You heard it here at work?
Right.
Can you remember who you heard from?
Shirley, I guess, the director out here in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in and was saying her husband had called her about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up on the conversation accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at that point, she told us what he had to say, which really wasn't too alarming at that time, but yet it was something that we were opening our ears to and gearing.
Okay, you were starting to pay attention to it, in other words, but you weren't overly concerned with it.
No, no, because it was lack of information, lack of knowledge at that point yet.
Did you know before that time that there was a reactor at 3-1-1?
Oh, yes. Yes, in fact, we'd gone down to see them and while they were building them. And
I see.
My kids were involved in nuclear energy, and I knew a little bit, but we were aware, yes.
Do you know how far 3-1-1 is from us?
From here, yes, it's about 15 miles, or between 15 and 20. I'm right in the 15 board line where I live.
Where you live,
right?
And that's in Mechanicsburg.
Right.
Okay. Did you know that before this incident?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. You said you were relatively, you weren't alarmed or anything at that point. Did that feeling change at all?
Yes.
Did you become more worried about it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I became worried for my children.
Mm-hmm.
As far as my husband and I, we figured we have lived half of our lives. We've been through, you know, knowing what life is about to this point. But I was concerned about my children to see things and to learn things. And my concern was to get them away, if
to
possible.
Get them away. Did you make plans?
Indirectly. My working up here, in the hours I was keeping, my husband has a business at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, if anything serious happens, we were prepared to move them west.
I see.
Yeah, but we do a lot of camping, and we had the van loaded with the gear so that we were ready to pull out.
You really were packed up and ready to go and kept your gas tank full.
Right.
And so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But he being at home meant that he was right on the spot if anything.
Right. I could give him a phone call from here, and he could move, and we were going to meet at Caledonia State Park.
I see. You had made arrangements to meet me.
Right.
No. Did you get the children home from school?
No.
Okay. Can you remember just what it was that made you become more concerned than you were initially?
I think part of the reaction downstairs in the emergency room, in the energy room and so forth, when they started getting key people in here and started issuing warnings to the other people of the communities and bringing them in for evacuation. I think that's...
When they started preparing for that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, that was fine.
Were you following the media at all?
To an extent. That bothered me because I knew some of it outside, you know, not our local media, but the NBC broadcast, so forth, that type thing. They were overdoing it, I think, to a point. And I left my family watch it, but I said, wait, you know, I warned them ahead of time that some of it was a little bit overdone.
So you felt your best source of information then was here,
right?
Because the information was coming directly through and so forth.
And I figured and Tom Blosser's from Mechanicsburg, and I knew him as a personal friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured if he's going to be concerned for his family, and he knows the love that we have for both our families, you know, then it would be time for me. Although he did move his family out before I moved mine.
I see. Did you both eventually move your families out?
No.
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 You did not?
No, I didn't. I think, I'm not sure. With Tom, I think, but since he was up here and couldn't, didn't have access to his family, it was a little different. And I had the head of my family at home.
Right.
It was different.
Right.
You know, getting moving as fast as. And my children are in their school the way we were moving, so my husband could have stopped and picked up the children right on the way instead of having them at home under his feet, so to speak, and having them worried and missing school.
Mm-hmm.
I figured, you know, there really isn't the alarm yet. You know, that the difference between the 10 and the 15 mile, you know, or the 5 and 15 miles, And we still had a little leeway until I finally heard that, you know, if it does go and there's that 100-mile radius, where are we going to be? You know, we might as well, if it happens, it happens. And that was, you know, we finally broke down and left it. You know, this is the way God had planned it, and we'll accept His judgment. So our religion did play a big part into it.
I was going, why don't you speak about that? Because I would have later asked a question about that.
Yeah, we have great faith in our God. Mm-hmm. And He's watching over us. If He wants us to move, we'll move. If He wants us to be part of it, we'll be part of it. Mm-hmm. So we found a lot in that.
Did you pray during the incident?
Oh, yes. I pray daily as it is. So, yes, that was...
And concerning this man?
Concern for the people, not just for my own self, just so that we all could react in the manner in which He felt we should react. That was my prayer, and that if we were to be out of it safely, He would guide us. Mm-hmm. And those were my prayers, but not selfish prayers or anything. Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that there was anything about this that suggested that God might be sending some sort of message to us about nuclear energy or science or what we were doing?
A little bit, but I'm always under the feeling that He has never given us anything we can't handle. And I still go with that, and I think it's a learning process more so than a fearing process. Mm-hmm. Because He's still a loving God, He's not a fearful God. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to learn from it. I'm not anti-nuclear power. Mm-hmm. I still would like to see them go on with it. And if some of us are hurt in the process, then maybe that's part of the price we may have to pay. Because years ago, with electrical energy and so forth, we paid the price of building our towers and so forth. People were killed. And it sounds cruel to a point, but I still think this is a step forward instead of a step backward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you go to church during the...
Oh, yes.
Was the thing spoken about, was TMI spoken about there?
Definitely, because the church was empty.
Was it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, our church attendance was down drastically. Mm-hmm. Percentage-wise, I couldn't give you, but there was less than 100 there, and we usually run about 400 on a Sunday.
Did you think that some people had left the area and so
definitely.
They know that people mm-hmm. did, so...
No, they went west. Most of them went west. A few went down to the Carolinas. But a lot of the people within our congregation are from the Pittsburgh, Ohio area.
So they have family out there.
Right. So. Mm-hmm. And the other ones packed some of their gear, camping gear, and went south. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember what was talked about?
Within the service?
Yes.
There were prayers said, hopes that this was a positive thing also to our growth. And naturally the fun part comes in about our glowing faces in the service, you know, this type thing.
Words take on different meanings at this
yes,
point.
Yes, yes. The minister himself did leave the area for a day, but he thought he better come back and help his people, mm-hmm. you know, which I gave him credit for that. What else? It's hard to remember what was in the sermon that day. He had a sermon, but he was detouring from the sermon off and on. I recall that, but with TMI, I knew what was going on up here, and then listening to the sermon, some of his were contradictions to what was going on, because he was pulling it from the news media. Mm-hmm. And at times, I do recall him, I think my thinking that, hey, you're frightening the congregation with things that aren't quite 100% true. I wish you'd back off. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like one of those things where you'd like to raise your hand in the middle of the sermon and interject something, you know, and I couldn't. But I did speak to him afterwards about it. And I said, hey, wake up a little bit. You know, everything you hear isn't true. In saying that, I can recall, but that's as far as the sermon itself. I can't pull everything, but...
Mm-hmm. Did you find that the church service was helpful in helping you with your anxiety and so forth?
No.
I see you were commenting in the reverse in some respects, weren't you?
Right. When I go to church, I go, this is weird to say, but I go for fun and for fun fulfillment. Because my religion is still a priority. I still have my personal respects and my personal feeling with my God. And when I go there, I still am trying to pull other people up. And I've always done this while I don't know, but I try to get the smiles out of people and the feeling that, hey, this is going to be a good week ahead. So even with this, you know, the church service didn't help me. I was trying to help other people through this TMI with the knowledge that I had here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was like a sounding board for other people, a shoulder for other people, and trying to help them through.
So you were feeling some responsibilities connected with your work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were there more than just the fact that you had information that others didn't and so forth?
More people, you
know. Did you feel other kinds of responsibility that pertained in part to your work and in part to the position you were in?
I don't think so. It's to a few, maybe I'm misunderstanding you here. Helping the people of the communities, letting them sound off again, and back to the same mm-hmm. place. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You know, I shared with them the truth that as I knew it, even though I didn't know all of it because I wasn't down in the room, but as Tom came up and some of the other people came up, I just laid it on the line. You know, there were some families where they were concerned. I said, if you're that concerned, then leave. If you have a place to go. Mm-hmm. I'd hate to see you sitting here worrying over something that you wouldn't be as anxious about if you were out of the area. Mm-hmm. It probably would be better mentally to you if you left now. And some people I do know, I don't know if it was because of what I told them that they had left or whether they just left.
These are people that you know over in Mechanicsburg.
Right. No, in Mechanicsburg. They were friends of ours and neighbors, and they just didn't know which way to turn. And because I worked up here, they didn't take advantage of me, and I didn't feel they took advantage, but it was just a friendly type thing. I said, you know, like I said, leave if you feel that way. Mm-hmm. Because I said, if we do have to leave, you're going to be in a worse predicament than if you leave now. You're going to create more havoc because you're uptight already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I said, it's probably best for all of us if you would leave, if you have a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just go wandering and pay hotels and motels, but if your family is someplace else. And I do know three families that did leave. Mm-hmm. So whether it was because of me or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my personal feeling. And the more people who are very hyper, get them out now in mm-hmm. case the time
does come. In case there has to be an evacuation of some sort.
Because they'd probably go the opposite direction.
Become unpredictable.
Right.
The situation. Did you, apart from what you would just need leaving, did you think of other things that you wanted to take along?
Yes. But we didn't. I'm not a materialistic person. And there were some memories. And I figured, well, I don't have room for those. My important thing is my family.
Mm-hmm.
So we packed the necessities, but I did tell the children to take some of their memories.
Mm-hmm.
And they packed maybe a little bag. So mm-hmm. it told me that the material life is not in our home, mm-hmm. you know, which it gave me a good feeling to see where my family was at. But the important things was our metal box of our important papers.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely ready to go on. And I think our first aid kit were the two things that we had, you know, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And dried food and so forth. But other than that, no, we figured if we could never come back, well, we'll just have to start a new life and with what we had.
Mm-hmm.
And the banks and our financial status, we figured, well, you can always transfer the monies to the banks. We weren't even concerned with that. You know, some people I know went and transferred and pulled the monies out and all. You know, that really wasn't necessary because the banking systems across the states, there really wasn't any problem there. So other than that, nothing either. We took clothing for 3 days and we did make comments, gee, if we can never come back. I said, well, you know, you can always live in 3 days clothing until you find some other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's enough to change and wash.
In those terms, in talking about what it would be that we would never come back, what did you imagine as the worst that might happen in all of this?
Oh, the worst? Oh, that's hard to say. We'd never come back. I didn't know where we would go. We love to travel, so that really wasn't anything against us as far as our family was concerned. I was concerned for my parents and my in-laws. I they are set in their ways, and it's hard. The older you get, the harder it is to change. I had concern for them, even though they're 50 miles from here, but it was the 100-mile radius. And I thought, well, they're encompassed in that, too. I pictured the whole thing as desolate. I hated to see all the... Now, there's where my material came into the picture. All this material wealth that sits in this area. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, all of a sudden, it can't be touched. There it sits. And how much importance we as a whole community, a whole area, put on our buildings and the type of life we live, all the newer homes that have just been built. Mm-hmm. And there it is, nothing. It can't be used, can't be touched. I don't know how many years they told us. Yeah, I pictured it as, you know, years ago you saw the deserts and those old rundown homes. You know, if generations from now they come back, that's how it's going to look, if anything has a chance to grow after the radiation.
So you did have a notion of the effects of heavy radiation on life and so mm-hmm. forth, and you saw it as mm-hmm. killing?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, definitely.
Did you have any feeling about the effects it might have on animal life and so forth?
Yes. Yeah, so animals are a part of my life. And I thought, would there be enough time for them to get out? Are they sensing this? And some of the animals did sense it, I feel. They have moved away from it. Mm-hmm. We were watching some of the birds in that, and I think some of them at that Friday or Saturday, the air seemed heavy around here. And people were laughing at me, saying, oh, it really wasn't. Well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was my imagination, but I still thought there was a change in the atmosphere, and there were no birds at that day. I don't know if you noticed it yourself.
I didn't notice that, but I...
But over in the Mechanicsburg, that Friday night around 9 o'clock, when the birds would be nesting, our home, it wasn't even 8 o'clock, it was earlier than yet, but they weren't there. They weren't flying, and it was very heavy looking down through there. Different. Now, it could have been caused by something else.
Yes,
this
but,
I can't
but you're sensitive
tell.
At that time.
You know, and even my children came running in and said, Mother, it smells different outside. I said, but radiation doesn't smell. I said, we know, but I said, it's probably psychological. So there again, it could have been something else. It could have been, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But we noticed a change. But I don't know. Yeah, I wondered whether the animals would get out. Yeah, I wondered what we were going to do with our animals, because our one dog will not ride.
Oh.
In a vehicle, we were concerned there.
If you had the lazy river animals.
We didn't know what we were going to do with him. We figured that would decide the last minute. You know, mm-hmm. if we can get him into the van, fine. We'll force him to go with us if not.
Do you have other animals? Were you going to take them along too?
Yeah, we have a cat. Mm-hmm. And that's what cat-dog situation. It's an interesting...
Yeah,
thing.
One of each, too.
Yeah. The fish we were going to let go.
There's a point where we were going to leave our snake. Well.
That's funny. But, my husband is a hunter, and he was concerned about the animals, uh-huh. not because he hunts for the sport, and we use the meat, but still, he said, boy, affect the whole... area, our whole, it'll change our way of living for a while around mm-hmm. here. If something even minor happens, because it's going to affect the lower animals before it affects us.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And he has a greenhouse and grows crops. And that was a big thing because it came right before a holiday. And first he says, no, I'm not leaving. And my major crop's in right now, and if I leave for 2 or 3 days without watering them, I've lost everything I worked for this year. So I had finally convinced him that isn't everything. You know, your life and to me is important. So he finally decided if we have to go, he would. He said, I've worked 20 years with my business here. I can't give it up. And he did. He realized life was more important.
Tough sorts of decisions going on.
It really was. Mm-hmm. We were watching the plants to see if it would affect them, and we didn't find any effects on them, mm-hmm. yeah, which was nice.
Do you think that anything that has happened, actually has happened, has affected your health, the health of your family?
No. Not at this point. And there again, we won't know
mm-hmm.
what 20, 30 years.
Do you think there might be some future effects?
I hope not. it's in the back of my mind. I think if my children have a family, when my children have a family, when they do, and there are other effects, I might say, well, that might have been the cause from back then. It could have affected the genes and so forth. But it's one of those things we have to wait and see now. You know, and I'd like to my children are out playing on Friday night. That happened, and one of the neighbors said, aren't you going to make your children come in? And I said, what's the difference? The windows are open, the doors are open. If it's outside, it's in here. And I may have been wrong, because I was told later, well, you have a roof over, you are cutting down if they are in here. So it's too late. You know, if, now if my, if some of their children are affected, I hope they aren't. That's something we'll have to live with.
Something sitting there. Did you have any worry about the food or the milk from the area?
No, until the one day I brought some down here on my way home from work, and the gentleman said to me, he was almost out, all sold out of the milk, and I said, gee, what's going on? He said, well, this milk comes from New Jersey, and he said it wasn't affected by the radiation, and with that it dawned on me. But it was too late, you know, by that time we were 4 days into the thing, and I thought, well, you know, it's too late now if we drank it. You know, that's it. Which was, there again, I was so geared up here with getting the family out, I never thought of the consumption in time. Like, you know, it was really weird. I went home and I told my husband that night, he says, you know, you're right. He said, isn't it something, all the things that need to be thought of that you don't think of? Your mind's so geared to one area that you forget the other ones. So by then we just decided, well, you know, it's too late now. If there was any, the water, we continued drinking, because I was following the pattern up here as far as do we boil it or don't we, and there wasn't any warning to boil it. So I figured, well, I'm putting my trust in those guys to know. So we didn't boil.
You brought up the true separate responsibilities there. Did you ever feel those conflicted?
To some point, especially the extra times when I had to come in here.
Now, you were, in other words, your work routine was quite different.
Yes. Some of the other girls probably told you, and I was switched to an evening type shift. And in fact, I worked a couple hours into the evening, then I'd go home, and I was on call then from the midnight shift on a couple nights. And you didn't sleep properly. Consequently, you weren't the friendly person with the family that you normally are. And at the same time, it reversed slightly, because my husband said, hey, it's great to have you home during the day. You know, at least we can have lunch together, even though there is a crisis going on. He was pleased to that point. I did take some of it out on the children, I will admit, but they were very understanding, because right as it was happening, I sat down. We do have family discussions, and I told them what was probably going to happen. I said, if I am angry with you or something, please understand that it's not me, it's the situation, and I still love you. Just bear with me. So they were very nice about the whole thing. They said, if I yell, just turn around and walk away from me, and I'll understand. And that's exactly what they did. They ignored me, which was great. You know, and things really worked out. After a while, I think they felt they could go to school and say, oh, my mom's up there working. So it gave them a feeling of pride. You know, I said, hey, this isn't a thing to be proud over. They said, but Mom, you still are involved, and we can do this. I said, well, if that makes you feel better right now, go ahead. But don't continue it too long. You know, it's really a serious issue. It isn't, you know, something to walk around with your chest glowing. I didn't mean that in a fine. But, yeah, so they definitely had to have a shirt from TMI now, you know, because they were more involved than some. But, you know, other than that, it didn't affect the family.
We are interested in your judgments about the way various socially responsible groups might have functioned in the office. You've said you've made some comment about your feeling that at least some of the media at least was exaggerated and so forth. How do you think Metropolitan Edison Company handles.
Poorly at first. I'm a truthful person. I'm a black and white person. Don't give me any gray material in between. Once they were caught, so to speak, I have mixed feelings over that because being in business myself, I hate to see any business knocked down in any way. If they've done wrong, which I feel at first they had, they try to come back and do the best they could to compensate for the situation. And now the way they're handling it, I don't know if everybody should be punished, so-called, with prices going up, as to everybody's responsible to pay for their error. And yet I'd hate to see them go bankrupt because of it. I wish there was another way that they could come out of it. I wish that they could build their trust. We need them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no way to just all of a sudden knock MedEd off the picture. I don't think some of these other companies would be ready to take over, you know, if you throw it in your lap. How they handled it. It was just a foolish move at first. I think had they been honest from the beginning, it all would have fell together.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah, that's the best I can, because I didn't follow their comments all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
From working up there,
so
I didn't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I picked up some of it, I was tired of reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was so much in the newspaper, and to follow was impossible. But they goofed at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We're too intelligent as people, a human race, to accept things that they did.
What about government officials now? In your case, there'd be several different levels there. National government officials, of course, got into things. State level officials were involved. The NRC was involved. County level planning was going on. Can you talk about how you feel they handle things?
When they brought Denton in, he did a fabulous job. Working down, there were times when I think there could have been a little more communication between the island and the local people. They left too big a span. When things were happening, we were hearing things over the media, because we did have a radio out here at times, that we weren't getting hold of. And that's when we don't know if it was the truth coming from the media. Had they broadcast from the island to the local areas, because we were the ones involved, not California or New York, and got it to our centers down here, I think it would have been better for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice that the media can be, the wide-span media can be right in there getting all the information, but they wanted stories and they wanted to make names for themselves, some of the reporters. Which is fine, but not at our expense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should have had Tom Blosser and that crew down there and all the other centers around should have had it first.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there should have been more, a closer relationship there, or a closer, like every 2 hours, an update to our centers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with the understanding that we would keep it there. You know, let the media broadcast, but let us know where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, why... I think they handled it, you know, as best they could with the little bit of knowledge they had on it, or the lack of knowledge they had on it.
Did you feel that those in charge over there were in control?
I keep going back to the one night on Saturday Night Live where they call it the Pepsi Syndrome. I love that. And, because so many times you have these little freak accidents where something does spill over, and I often wondered to my, you know, to myself, I spoke to my husband, just wonder if somebody did spill something. You know, and in order to cover it over, they had to make a big issue over it and bring the whole panel in from D.C. It was cute. But let's go back to the question.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you felt that they were in control.
Yeah. After a while, with what they knew, their panel boards, I'm sure, as best they could, there may have been, It's just like any organization hires people in to train them or to teach them. There may have been some people there on a so-called training, learning under others, because you can't work without training somebody under you. Maybe one of those fellows was there, I don't know. But with the knowledge they had, I'd like to believe they were working as best they could with the knowledge that they knew their boards. You don't go into panels like that without having some working. At least I wouldn't think they would. Med Ed wouldn't be that stupid. I'd like to think they had control, at least 95% of it. With whatever broke down or whatever really did happen, there's going to be problems with all machinery, all instruments. And it was just a shame that Three Mile Island had to be built where it was. You know, it would have been great had it been 100 miles from nowhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then these things could have happened and no one would have been affected, but it's impossible anymore with the way we're building.
Places weren't put on.
Right.
Do you think they're in control of it now?
I would think so. That's sort of hard to answer. I'd like to think they are. I figure with all the outside knowledge coming in now, that they'd have to know the company that built it. They'd have to have the blueprints there and people. I'm not a technical person. All this technology is still fascinating me. I was a medical technician by profession, and by the time I quit that area of my life to start my family, they were just coming in with all the technology and all the machinery and that to do the tests that we were doing by hand. And I was very fascinated, but I didn't understand it, you know, the intricate parts of it. And right now, the reason I'm working here in purchasing is because I'm afraid to go back into the medical profession, because it's been 15 years since I've been out, and I know technology has taken on a whole new phase in mm-hmm. the laboratories, but it still is a fascinating part. So the people who are doing it and handling it, they have to know what they're doing. They have to... 95-98%, they have to have a good working idea of it. I'd like to think they have control of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of where do they put this stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't go through certain states with this border, and you can't go to this, and you can't do that. Because I think the people who are afraid are the ones who have little knowledge about it. You know, a lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It creates more fear in a person, I think, than trying to understand and trying to learn. My kids have helped me an awful lot. My oldest is 15, and he's into this, and the next is 13. So they have table discussions, and I listen to it.
They know about nuclear power and so forth.
Yeah, and I think it's fabulous that they do at this age. Give them an idea where they want to go,
mm-hmm.
you know, with all this technology. So I'm learning through them. Consequently, I don't feel as fearful maybe as some people who are not aware of what can be and what might be.
Mm-hmm. So. Did you at any time have any mental pictures of what was happening over there? I know you talked about what if the worst had happened, what you had. Did you
mental
see any
pictures? I never pictured the panel board to be as large as what it was. But I saw one of the magazine articles on it, and here's this big spread. I thought, wow. I pictured, from the newspaper, I gathered little articles. I was picturing all this stuff to be at the first, or Friday and Saturday when it was first happening. I thought it was all in the cooling towers, in the base of the cooling towers. Until, you know, some of these reactor buildings came into play, and that's when I became more interested. Still didn't realize, even though I saw them being built from this side of the river, they didn't seem to be as large to handle such a piece of equipment as what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And after seeing the picture, it changed my mental image of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a mental picture of the one cooling tower just blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, you know, if you're asking for,
yes,
you know, dream type things. And I sort of pictured all this going into the Susquehanna River and creating more hassle and more problems of the downstream river type thing. That's about the only mental picture I really had. That's okay.
Did you have any daydreams?
No.
Did you have any sleeping dreams that you remember? Was your sleep disturbed?
Other than working, you know.
Apart from changing your work routine.
Right, you know, being aware, gee, that phone's going to ring, because I went through that when I was working in the laboratory with emergencies. You know, you just don't sleep soundly because you're afraid you're going to miss the phone and all of a sudden something's happening and you have to be in there. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know.
Did this bring to mind any experience out of your past?
No.
Any historical event?
Mm-mm. I don't like history to begin with. I live from today to tomorrow. I like to think the past has helped the future or the present in the future, but after today is gone, I can't do anything about it. I have to, you know, tomorrow's my next day.
Mm-hmm.
And
would you judge this sort of incident to be more or less frightening than, say, a flood or a hurricane or another kind of natural disaster?
Well, we've been through the floods. In a way, there wasn't anything. Yeah, it was, to me, it was more of a disaster than the floods, because the floods, we knew we could run away from them. We knew they were coming. It was sort of a warning. Tidal waves, I still, that I have a fear of a tidal wave. I've seen a lot of damage from those things. But there again, that's nothing you can do. That would come on. That would be my only other fear, worse than this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why tidal waves, whether, there again, if you're going back to childhood, whether I might have seen something over a tidal wave or that Titanic, which didn't have a tidal wave in it, but I was a child when I saw the Titanic and the sinking, and whether some of those waves with that would bring this tidal wave business in my mind.
You saw the Titanic sinking?
No, I didn't see it, but the movies and
oh,
so
movies.
Forth. When I was small,
I saw
the movies, and I think I was too small when I did see them, because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't separate the movie from
mm-hmm.
at that time. And that's why this tidal wave business is always in the back of my, not always, but you know, if you bring up disaster. But this would be a disaster to me. See, other things, you can get away from fire to an extent, you know,
mm-hmm.
you don't walk into it and you get to run away from floods. But there's no running here, so to speak. If it would have gone, it would have hit such a big area even at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I could see this, you know, as more of a disaster.
Did any old books you've read or movies or TV shows come to mind?
No, not with this. Because I didn't see. What's the movie that's happening? Okay. I didn't go see that, China Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to. And I didn't get a chance during this thing. And now it doesn't bother me. If what I've read on it, it's similar to what we've lived through. Why go and relive? You know, it's not worth it, because then that's going to put more ideas into my head. I don't need more ideas. I want to get my family raised. And I have enough problems with the drug scene and that I have to be concerned over. I don't want to have more.
Larger, other words.
Right. You know, when I had gone to school, this one professor always told us, always never remember things that are written down, because there's so many things that aren't written down that you're going to have to remember. You know, so I try to write everything down. You know, that leaves my head clear for more things. It's really weird. It's one of the things I've sort of stuck with, and we laugh about it. But I think in the back of my mind I follow through on that, because my head is so full of things that I have to remember and concerns. With my four children, they're all different levels and they're all different problems. They're a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm talking to you, I'm beginning to realize how big a part of they are of my life.
So.
But,
do you recall hearing any jokes about radiation through your mouth?
Yes, our Pepsi joke. And oh, there were a couple flying around here. We had to laugh. It got to a point here we had to become silly and ridiculous because it was getting the best of us, mm-hmm. I think. The weary days and the drawn-out days and the tension at times. And we'd even make up our own jokes. And nothing that... it's not that I couldn't repeat them, I just can't remember them, but they were the globe type and mm-hmm. that type thing. And then when the shirts came out up here at the college, that was fun, you know, even the hell no globe type situation. Yeah, nobody wanted to say hell, you know, you eased into that one, you know, type thing. And it really became silly. Even though now looking back on it, the words weren't silly, but I realized how tired we were, mm-hmm. and it gave us something to laugh over. Yeah, and then it was a shame that the Saturday Night Live hadn't happened sooner because we had a ball over that even after, you know, this whole thing. That was a joy. And then they followed up another week, I guess, with the Saturday Night Live 2 weeks in a row where Johnny Carson did a tape off. Yeah, I don't know which one of them. So we were really rolling with that for a while. But, yeah, it had to be a joke.
Yeah. You said something about this, and now I just want to do it directly. Do you have an opinion about our development of nuclear power?
I'd like to see them continue. Mm-hmm. But at this point, again, I'm going back to my religion. He just never given us anything we can't handle. I think he gave us the brains to develop it, and I think the brains are there to develop it correctly, and I think it should continue. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that where they're putting it is the wisest, where they're building these reactors is the wise thing. I think we have to learn from this incident to hopefully get it away from the populated areas and put a restriction possibly on how close you can build within them. But I would hate to see it stop right here. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for them to open that reactor, turn that back on again. Mm-hmm. You know, and it, although I'm not living within a mile. That makes a difference. You know, I feel a little protected where I am. I don't know if I'd move if within a mile.
If you live down closer.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. what I'm saying is to put, I probably would move if I lived that close. Mm-hmm. But that I had at least the 5 miles distance between me, you know, if something did go wrong. Because we were warned, you know, indirectly. You know, they do give you that area.
Right.
Now, why stay there? It's already built. If we can move, I would say, hey, isolate that little area around there if possible. Mm-hmm. You know, if a mistake's been made, let's learn. But, no, I need to see it stopped. That's a future.
Okay, you were saying you were talking with your neighbor.
Right, and how did they feel when electricity, of course, was developed and invented so quick? And the gentleman told me, and you know, when I wanted to put it in my mother's home, we had to take it our way for 3 days on a vacation. And he said, we were electricians. We were just training into this field. And he said, we put it into her home. She came home, and she threw a fit. She didn't want to touch it in any way. She was frightened, totally frightened. She was going to move out, you know, leave my husband, or my father, I'm sorry, and because of the fear. And I said, well, that sort of explains where nuclear power is. And I said, I'm glad to hear you say that. And I said, it answers a few questions in my mind. Am I foolish for feeling that this should go on? Or was this the same generations ago when something new was on the horizon? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I feel this is another step in our life. And we are the generation who is here. Our kids will probably, or the third generation from now, you know, it'll be something accepted, and they'll have another form that they're going to have to live and grow with. It's part of the future, and mm-hmm. I think it has to be. Yeah. That's why not.
Is there anything else you want to say about this?
Not really, but it's been nice just clearing up my head. You know, with questions like this, it gives me an idea of where I do stand.
It's been nice talking to you. I appreciate it.